We welcome you all tonight to our evening worship service. We're going to start with a well-known and favorite hymn of the faith, number 28, How Great Thou Art. Let's stand as we worship the Lord. Sing this final verse here tonight. It's speaking about the return of Christ, when our Lord shall come. Well, when that happens, every saved soul will be able to shout with great thanksgiving and joy, and then speak of the greatness of God in a way we have never, ever done it before. Well, let us do so tonight with that song of joy and that heart of faith, that we will praise God and let him know tonight from our souls that all our hearts are rejoicing in him, and we cannot wait and yet to magnify him here and now. We have this privilege. Let's sing this final verse.
Thank you.
Let's bow, please, our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Father, as we commence this evening service of worship, our souls are lifted up in thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we feel though so limited. Father, how can we properly extend the greatness of our God that we've been singing about tonight? Lord, we are thankful this evening that we have been redeemed, thankful that Christ has paid the debt of our sin. Thankful, Lord, tonight we know that His blood has made atonement for us and our sins have been forever washed away. We are seated in heavenly places tonight, and we know this truth, Lord, that we will never be in hell. Father, I pray that the Spirit will come and give each one of us, every true believer, that sense of praise, genuine heart worship, that no matter what temptation or trial may come, that we will see beyond it and to look, Lord, to the greater picture of the kingdom of our God. We say, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Oh, Father, help us to stand true and faithful in these dark and difficult times. Help us to take our stand for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that we will not be afraid. We will not be filled with, Lord, being timid. Don't let us, Father, let down our guard. Help us to take our stand for the Master in a time when it's unpopular, in a time when there are perhaps many altering voices. We ask, Lord, to strengthen each believer, that we'll be true, found faithful before our God. Dear Lord, give us grace and strength to be a testimony as a congregation. Bless the outreach that goes forward through the pulpit of this church, through our electronic sign. But Lord, through the personal witness of every member, everyone who is associated with us, Lord, we pray that we will be confident in giving out the gospel witness, and that, Lord, you would take away timidity and fear. Lord, I pray that Satan will be defeated in his attempts to stop us from serving, to stop us from witnessing, to stop us, Lord, from glorifying your holy name. Hear our prayers tonight. Remember everyone who is in need. Remember, Lord, tonight the grieving families. Remember, O God, tonight those who need a touch upon their spirit. Strengthen every single one. Remember all our elderly. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen them with might in the inner man. And dear God, preserve always, we ask, our land. Help us for our leaders. Give wisdom. May they be kept from their evil intentions, and bless them to do that which is right. Remember, Lord, the radio ministry and witness going across Canada and overseas. Bless Brother Gallagher as he preaches the word from week to week and distributes all of those messages to the various radio stations. We ask, Lord, that there would be blessing to follow the ministry of the Word of God. Remember our pulpits that don't have pastors tonight. Be with them and strengthen them. Remember the work in Phoenix and Reverend Mook, the final Lord's Day next week for him as he retires. Dear Lord, we're asking for blessing upon him, his wife, Mary. We pray, Lord, to be with Brother Hamilton as he oversees the work now, and to bring along the right ministers and helpers. Father, we pray along with that pulpit and others that are vacant at this time to supply a man to be an under-shepherd. Remember all of our missionaries tonight. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember Brother Paul Thapa in Nepal and the work going on there. Encourage his heart and strengthen him and bless him. Lord, help us, we pray, to see the work of God expanded in our own land and not diminished. Hear our prayers tonight. Encourage every believer. Bless every family. Thankful for the Connect group last night, for the message that we heard, for all the young adults that were gathered. Lord, encourage their hearts. Build them up in their most holy faith. Strengthen them to be servants of the Most High God. Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. Encourage us and bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 243, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Turning tonight to Psalm 145 for our congregational reading. Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that seek him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. We know the Lord will bless his word to every heart as we have read tonight. You cannot read a psalm like that without causing your heart to be lifted in thanksgiving to God and praise that is due unto his great name. And let us worship him in the spirit of holiness and truth. Welcome, everyone, tonight to our evening service. We're happy that you're here in person, and also those able to join us online tonight. We pray that God's word would encourage your heart and you would be lifted up in your spirit. If you did not see the funeral yesterday in Greenville, South Carolina, for our sister Kim Wagner, you can go to Sermon Audio, the Faith Free Presbyterian page, and it's online there. I would encourage you to go and view that sometime this week. I think you'll be blessed. It was a very faithful tribute to a godly woman. And do continue to pray for the Wagner family at this time. Remember, please, the number of sick ones in our congregation. We continue to hold up the Watsons, remembering Thelma and John. I reported to you this morning about Henry Lee making some good recovery. But do continue to remember him and also Kathy in your prayers. And do continue to hold up the others that are needing our intercession in prayer. We had a good group last night for the final Connect Fellowship before the break for the summer. And I would ask you to continue to remember those ones who were meeting with us, and that God would encourage their hearts and strengthen them in their walk with Christ. Let's not forget to pray also for the boys and girls and the Behind the Wall ministry and the 10 mini-series part this coming summertime on the 10 Commandments. This Wednesday, our Bible study and prayer time will include the annual general meeting, and it will be on Zoom. And so I encourage you to attend. It's not just for members. Anyone is welcome to attend that meeting. This is a busy week for the school as it winds down, and all the online teaching will be coming to a conclusion. And we pay tribute to our staff members in our school. They have done a stellar job. It has been very, very difficult for them. And I want you to thank God for them, continue to pray for them that they'll be strengthened in this time of break over the summer. And this week is a graduation Wednesday for the grade eights, and it will be a limited graduation. It'll be outside, and also Thursday the grade 12s will be having their graduation. Next Lord's Day, our regular services, and then please an advance announcement for the following Lord's Day, July the 4th. We will be having communion service that week, but also it is significant as the 45th anniversary of the very first service that was held here in 1976, well, not here, but in our church here in Toronto. And we want to acknowledge and thank God for that. And also we're looking forward to a testimony from Dr. McClellan at that time of some of the recollections he has from those very first years. Next Lord's Day is the final meeting for the church in Cloverdale. Not Cloverdale, what am I saying? It's Phoenix, Reverend Mook. He's retiring from Phoenix, and he'll be going from the congregation there. So I know that they would appreciate prayers. They're having a farewell service this incoming week for our brother. And do remember Brother Stephen Hamilton, who takes over as the interim moderator, and he's asking for prayer and for men to be able to supply the pulpit there. It's just one more to add to our list of thinking about the many people who need our prayers at this time. Let me also remind you that the women's Bible study has been changed. I'm just getting a text through because that's one of the announcements that I did not have. The women's Bible study has been moved to Tuesday, June the 29th at 7 p.m. So ladies in the congregation, remember that it would have been this Thursday, but with so much going on, it's moved to June the 29th. Thank you for paying attention to that. If you did not get one of our Father Mother's Day Everyone Welcome pads this morning, with a pen attached, there's some left, and please help yourself and take one of those when you leave our service tonight. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise, number 26, Great God of Wonders. This final verse. Please turn tonight to Psalm 77. I don't know how many of you read through this psalm this afternoon, but as we read through it again, well, you will not be able to miss the spirit, the sense of urgency and heart and passion that Asaph wrote this prayer out. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, the lightning lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we come to the Word tonight, we pray for not just understanding of the words, but for the application of this truth by the Spirit to our hearts. I pray there will not be a soul here, a believing soul, that will be left untouched. Lord, you would come and do that work that only can be done by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking tonight for any soul here who is unsaved. Father, it might please thee to break through into their soul and bring them to the foot of the cross and to be saved. Help me, Lord, to speak tonight as your messenger and servant in the Word of God with that fresh oil spoken of in Psalm 92. And Lord, that unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit tonight. Give grace and help, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In verse number 13 of this psalm, there is one phrase that I want us to use as really a springboard from what I want to share with you tonight. And it really is the greatness, the unchangeable greatness of the God with whom we worship. And it says in verse 13, the last phrase, "Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." Who is so great a God as our God? He is unchangeably the Almighty, the Great, the Eternal, the Everlasting God. The solemn reality that there have been former atheists who have declared that God is dead. There have been former atheists that have declared God is not great. There are those people today who are still living and declare themselves to be atheists, but I rather term them temporary atheists until the day of their death. They will stand upon their soap boxes or behind the pulpits of humanism and godless atheism, and they will declare, as Pharaoh did of old, "Who is this God that I should obey him?" When Pharaoh declared that, he was referencing all the gods of Egypt that he bowed down to and worshipped. And why should the God of the Hebrews, Jehovah, be recognized as anything different or better or higher or greater than all the gods that he worshipped? So in that sense, he was very much a polytheist, that is, Pharaoh. But as man advances in his understanding, in his term, he comes to a point of enlightenment that was a bygone era. That was man in his developing stages. But now man has come to more truth, more enlightenment, more understanding, and so they are bold to declare that there is no God. There is just a cosmos out there. There is no personality. There is no identity. There is no being. It is just what it is. And so, as fate, that is termed in the idea of the cosmos, if you can have those two things going together, the idea is that man is just on a journey, and he's on this journey with no plan, no purpose, and no destiny. And the idea of no plan, no purpose, no destiny, it means that you live on earth for whatever purpose you define yourself, and you will die like an animal, you will go into the grave, and that is the end of you. There's no more. And of course, this idea of rejecting the God that has revealed himself in the Bible and making a declaration that God is not, or he is not great, there is no such thing. Ah, my friend, it is standing at the height of arrogance for puny, finite man to make a declaration. I say that with the certainty that the God who has revealed himself in the Scripture and has granted to humanity a revelation that is outside or beyond himself, and that goes into many arguments or questions about the validity of the Bible. And as you study and honestly investigate the Scriptures as the Word of God declared, well, you will have to step far beyond reason to reject the revelation of God's Word because of what it contains and the prophecies that it foretells, and how so many things have combined together. The God that has revealed himself in his Word is the God whom I believe to be the living and the true God. Infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And tonight, my friends, I say to you that this God is greatly to be praised. And let us not have, as believers, small or narrow or confined views of the Lord. Let us not limit God by our own inability. But whatever views or thoughts we have of the greatness of God, multiply it a million times. For we, in our humanness, are limited until we are able to see God in person, in the person of Christ. And even then, my friend, I believe we are still going to be very, very limited as to what we will be able to know of the eternal existence of our God and of the great value and of his eternal wealth and of the riches that he will unfold to his people. Now, Asaph, who is the author of this psalm, he asks a rhetorical question that we have already highlighted to you in verse 13. Who is so great a God as our God? And of course, a rhetorical question is one that the answer is obvious in the very question itself. And so as he asks this question, of course, there is no being that is so great, so majestic, and so holy, so compassionate and loving and gracious and merciful as Jehovah, who is our God. And this God is forever and ever. He has always been and he always will be. And there is no truth, believer, that so calms the heart. There is no truth that so enlivens the mind. And I will tell you, it gives nerve to the spirit to face insurmountable odds. Do you possess this truth tonight in your own Christian daily walk? It is important for us to be encouraged about such truth. The reason is because the devil does not want us to think this way. He wants us to think in small terms of God. And yet when we are confronted with the revelation of Scripture, and we are brought face to face with who the Lord is, let us declare with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength that we will worship and adore the one who has revealed himself to us. The revelation that God has given, it can only be received by faith. We're honest about that. Those who declare themselves to be atheists, unbelievers, agnostic, not knowing, they cannot know. whatever way they define themselves, we know that the Bible says clearly that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because the things of the Spirit of God, they are only going to be discerned spiritually. In other words, by those who have the Spirit of God, they will understand those things. And the natural man and mind is darkened to it. He cannot see. So what is necessary? Well, it's necessary, my friend, that conversion takes place. And this, could we say, is the very essence of conversion therapy. This is the real biblical conversion therapy. It is bringing someone to the point where they are in their sin and they are brought to see the light of Jesus Christ as the Savior of their sin. No matter what vices, no matter what sins, no matter what lifestyle they've had, every person needs to be born again of the Spirit of God. They need to have the life of God placed within them. That's what I need. And I thank God for the day He saved me. And for those of you here who know the Lord tonight, the very same thing has gripped your heart. And you know the Lord tonight. And you love Him. You want to honor Him. Because there was a day when you were blinded by your sin, and the day that God broke into your soul and gave you life, and then showed you the only answer for your sin is Jesus. And when the Lord breathed into us and brought us to spiritual life, it was then, my friend, that we were able to repent and receive the Savior. But this salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life, it does not mean that we will have all our doubts and trials and disappointments forever removed. No, friend, it only means that in our distresses, we have the Lord to rest on. We have our God to trust in. We have His Word to fall back on, and to always be sure that underneath us are the everlasting arms of the eternal God. He is our great Savior. And oh, my friends, let us pray that God will quicken and stir our hearts. Yes, though we are very changeable creatures, and we are so open to vacillations, so open to changing circumstances that affect us, our times and our seasons will change. But do you know the hope that we have tonight is that our God never changes? And many years ago, I can remember in my youthful Christian days being so distressed and discouraged because my life seemed to be one day victorious and the next day down in sin and discouragement. And that was an awful, debilitating thing, to the point where you wonder, is there ever such a thing as a victorious Christian life that you can live? And I remember a brother in Christ saying to me, yes, that's the way we are, up and down in our Christian experience. But he told me, he said, don't forget that Christ never changes. He is always the same. And our God never changes. And therefore, though we will vacillate, look to the Lord who never changes. And He is the one who will encourage us. He is our infinite and eternal Lord. I want you to notice, please, in the first place tonight, then, as we look through this psalm, that God remains unchangeably great in our deep distresses. From verses 1 to 6, Asaph says and brings out words a day of trouble in verse 2. This was not an ordinary type of, well, I'm a little bit down today, a little bit discouraged. This was something much greater than this. This was something I would suggest to you was akin to what I quoted this morning from Zechariah, that when Joshua the high priest was standing to minister before the Lord, he was resisted and the devil was standing at his right hand. I believe that at the side of Asaph here, as he's going through this psalm, Satan is standing right next to him to bring him down to the very depths of despair. This was a dark, dark time in the life of this man. A believer? Yes. A man of God? Certainly. A man of faith? Most definitely. But a man? Yes. A man who had feet of clay. An ordinary man. And he spoke about his day of trouble. Whenever this Bible uses that term, it's not just speaking about 24 hours. I think you'd get that. He's speaking about a time period. And it was referred to here as a day of trouble. It was a time of deep heart searching. How long this lasted for him, we don't know. But he goes on to speak further about my sore that ran in the night. It's an unusual Hebrew phrase. The word sore actually is the word hand. And when you would investigate that a little further, the word hand is a very broad term used in Hebrew to express many, many things. And the idea is here, the translators have given us my sore, my affliction, my internal bleeding, my internal difficulty and distress. It was in the night season, and he could not find rest. There was no peace that he could get at that time. And when you're going through sleepless nights, and you cannot get rest for your soul, friend. Maybe you have a similar situation to what Asaph was going through. But it doesn't end there. He talks about my soul refusing to be comforted. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Asaph didn't want to be comforted. Of course he wanted comfort, he wanted peace, he wanted to go to sleep, he wanted rest. But when he said, my soul refused to be comforted, he was entering into another expression of just how troubling and trying. He could not get an answer to his soul. He was wrestling back and forth, back and forth. It was just like a boat on the very troubled sea, up and down. There was no rest, no calmness. The storm was raging, and he was in big trouble. You think about the disciples in that boat when the Lord was asleep, and they thought their life was over because that storm was fierce against them. What about when Paul was on that ship heading to Rome, and they had thrown everything overboard, and they had just committed themselves to the wind. They thought it was Endsville for them, everybody on the ship. But Paul had received a word from God that night. But everyone else thought it was the end of the road for them, or the end in drowning. Asaph goes further in his definition. He says, my spirit was overwhelmed. I think you're getting the picture here. He's running out of ways in which to express his heart. He is so troubled. He says, I cannot speak. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're so grieved in your heart, you just cannot even formulate in your words the reason why. to express what's going on inside your soul. And if someone was to come along to you and say, hey, what's going on? What's the matter with you? You cannot even formulate the words to begin to express. It's so deep. It's so down inside. This was the circumstance that was affecting this man of God. Now you might ask yourself, well, why? Why was it affecting? We don't know why. We do not know exactly what was happening apart from a severe attack of the devil upon him. Do you know, my friends, in the middle of such trouble, we can be encouraged in this point that he was crying out to God. In other words, at a time of his difficulty, he wasn't running away from the Lord, but he was running to the Lord. The very opening words in verse 1, he said, I cried unto God with my voice. So he was seeking the Lord in his trouble, not running from him. In verse 2, we're told, I sought the Lord. In verse 3, he said, I remembered God. And in verse number 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. And I suggest to you that what Asaph was doing, this song in the night was not a song of depression or sadness. This was the song in the night of rejoicing. This was a time he could remember when things were going well for him. He was in close fellowship with God. He was in a time of rejoicing and thanksgiving, singing to the Lord in the night, his song in the night. He said, I remember that time. Do you know something about Asaph here in these first 6 verses? He is actually a lot closer to God than he realized. He was a lot closer to God in the midst of his trial. For when he's crying out to the Lord and seeking God and remembering the Lord and remembering the times of blessing, these were very special. Well, believer, let me apply this to your heart tonight. We're living in troublous times. Well, that's all around us. But when we're living in troublesome times and evil days, you can also be going through your own great troublesome and evil days. And it may well be that even in society, when there's great blessing and the Lord's reviving His church, you might still be going through times of your own that are unlike or different from anyone else. Deep and dark, troublesome times. What do you do in a situation like that? You remember that our God is unchangeably great. That's what you do. You call out and say, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And I know that in my deep distress, His ear is always open to the cry of His people. And we come on the blood-sprinkled pathway. We come on the ground of victory. We come on the ground of certainty that as we approach the Lord, He will not turn us away. Ah, yes. That's coming even a little bit farther, as we'll see in Asaph's life and prayer here. Please notice in the second place that God remains unchangeably great even when we doubt Him. So things are getting a bit darker here before they get lighter in Asaph's life. You wonder, how much darker can it get? Yeah? It's getting worse. Do you know why it's getting worse? Because this poor man of God now is beginning to doubt or question the very Lord that he's crying out to. And we find that in verses 7 to 9. Listen to these words. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean, gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? What happened in the life of this servant is that because he was so very, very low, he succumbed to the temptation of doubting the God that he loved and worshipped. And friend, maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you're at a place of doubting the Lord. You're doubting his covenant. You're doubting his favor. You're doubting the mercies, past mercies. You're doubting the promises of the Word of God. You're doubting his tender mercies, the grace that he has shown you in the past. All of these things are summarized and given to us here. The compassion that the Lord has shown to you. Friend, I don't know where you are at this particular time, young, medium, old. But I will tell you this, the devil never stops trying to plant seeds of doubt in Christians' minds. And he will do it by a number of ways. And he will do it sometimes in the times of great affluence when things are going really well. And you've kind of made it on your own. And if you've gone through that point, you kind of wonder to yourself, well, really, I mean, I'm being blessed and things are going well. Is the Lord really, do I need God to bless me in my life? Or on the other side of the coin, or on the opposite end of the pendulum, it may well be that you're going through times of great distress, as Asaph was, and you're beginning to doubt, does God exist? Would he let one of his own children go down so deep and so far away? And so you're questioning, a lot of things are boiling around in your head. Or maybe you're kind of looking at things around you in the world and you're beginning just to ask some questions. Is God? Does God? Is there a great God? Is God at all there? Yes, friend, you can be brought to the point in your own Christian life of doubting God. But in the midst of your doubting, can I assure you tonight? Can I reassure you of the unchanging greatness of the God that has made himself known to you? And place all of your doubts, put them in a big basket, if you've got a big enough basket to put them all in, and set them before God. Say, Lord, I know you have dealt with my life, my heart. I have experienced your tender mercies. I have experienced your grace in salvation. I have known forgiveness of sins. But I have all these doubts. What am I going to do with them? You bring them to the Lord. And you place them right there at the throne of grace, at the foot of the cross again. Yes, again. You bring them back and you say, Lord, I thought I had the victory over this, but it seems not. Because the devil is a wily and a tricky and a dangerous enemy. And just when you think you've got the victory over this in your life, you know what happens? He comes and he hits you when you weren't expecting it from a blow out of the blue. And it takes the wind out of you and it knocks the feet out from underneath you and you're down. Rejoice in this great fact, friend, that the Lord is holding on to you at all times. You're one of His. He will not let you go. You can remember a time in your life when you confessed your sin to Christ. Can you remember a time when you asked the Lord to come into your heart? He heard your prayer. He saved you. now you're in a point where you don't know. You're wondering. Maybe you're exactly in the shoes of Asaph tonight. And he doubted God. This was a dark time in this man's life. Satan was trying to overthrow him. Oh yeah, maybe he couldn't take his salvation away. Maybe he was going to stop him from being of any valuable use for God in service. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to stop our witness. He wants to stop us from serving or giving our life over to God in fullness. May the Spirit of God help tonight, friend, wherever you are, whatever you're going through. I say to you tonight, God is tender in His mercies. And there's a reason why He's allowing you to go down this road. There's a reason why He's getting your attention. He wants you to realize that you're not so great, so big, and so strong as you thought you were. And we've all got to come to that point where the Lord just dismantles us piece by piece by piece, and we realize we're all on the table. It's not a pretty sight. He's unmanned us. He's dismantled us. And He wants us to see so that He will put it all back together again, and that we can see all of our dependence and all of our usefulness for Him. It will be as a result of His great grace. Would you please notice in the third place tonight that God remains unchangeably great when grace sparks right thinking. When grace sparks right thinking. What does a spark do? Well, if you have a can of gasoline and you put a spark next to it, you will see what a spark will do. In an internal combustion engine, there is a very small component called a spark plug. And if all things are working correctly in the timing of your engine, and the ignition sends a signal, an electronic signal down that wire to the spark plug, a spark will jump over the electrode. And when that happens, everything working together, the air-fuel mixture inside the cylinder being compressed by the piston will ignite, causing an explosion. And that will force the piston down. And that's what makes your engine work within your car. And here we find that something took place in Asaph's life. Yes, he came back to understanding some things that he knew about God. It was a spark of grace. Look at verses 10 to 15. He said, "And I said, this is my infirmity." What happened to Asaph, he recognized that the infirmity that he was having and going through of his dark and deep times, the infirmity of doubting God, this is the problem I'm having. And he said, "This is my infirmity." And then it says, he says, "And I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Oh, what did he do? What happened to him? He came back to realize his foundation. He came right back to the cross. He came right back to that place where he knew his relationship started with the Lord, the right hand of the fellowship of God, because the place of God's right hand is the place of God's blessing, the place of his salvation, the place where his grace was poured out. You know, friend, what took place in this man's hand, in this man's life. Verse 11, he says, "I will remember the works of the Lord Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Asaph, the spark of grace began to work in his soul, and he was brought back to the principles of his salvation, what he understood. But did you notice that line where it said, the way of God in the sanctuary? What was so significant about the sanctuary? Oh, that's where God ordained to meet with his people. That's where, in the Holy of Holies, the blood of atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat. That's the place where the blood had been shed, and God said, I will meet there with my people. And so when Asaph went to that place, he realized again, yes, God is a God of the covenant. God is a God of promise. And that was the key of faith that unlocked that door, that dungeon, that cell he was in. And that door opened and he was able to go out. He was free again. Ah, yes, my friend. Let us remember well the time of the sanctuary, the place of meeting with our God, coming to stand upon the foundation of our justification, to know that we are not under condemnation anymore. When we begin to dwell on those great central Christian doctrines, it puts the spark of life back into our soul again. Could we use that phrase? And God's grace becomes renewed to our mind. We're being renewed in the inner man. Yes, we're dying unto ourselves. We are living unto righteousness and to the end everlasting life. And then we make testimony. And what testimony do we make? The greatness of our God and his unchangeable greatness. Well, it's something that you and I tonight, believer, will rest on. We will be thankful for it. We will worship God in such a manner. And I close with this final thought tonight. God reveals his unchangeable greatness in the oversight of his people. Verses 16 to 20, the whole tone of the psalm changes when Asaph begins to exalt the Lord and to magnify the sovereign, majestic, holy power of the great God with whom he had to do. His majesty, his mercy, his compassion, his compensation. All of those things he presents before the Lord. And he said, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out their water. The skies sent out their sound. He's speaking about the thunder, all of nature rallying together be under the greatness of the God of creation. Coming down to verse 20, he concludes with this, thou leddest thy people like a flock. Oh, what does that tell us? That speaks about the good shepherd. That speaks about the Lord being my shepherd, the one who has called us to himself as his sheep. We are the people of his pasture, and the Lord has given promise, commitment, covenant promise. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will guide you. I will shepherd you, my people. And I will never forsake you. This is at the heart of the greatness of God, of His provision to us as His people, of His grand providences in our life, and yes, friend, of His promise of protection. So Asaph concluded his prayer. His heart is now at peace. He's coming back full circle. The storm has concluded. The wind has stopped blowing. The sun has begun to arise on him. And it's a new day. And he can rest now. And he will go forward victorious in the victory of the greatness of the God with whom he has to do. And believer, let the sun arise upon you and your circumstance. Let you rejoice, each one of us, whatever is our time and our season and our circumstance. For your God is in control, and the one who has saved you is the one who will never leave you. And the one who will never leave you is the one who is your covenant, making, keeping God. And we can say in this question, who is so great a God as our God tonight? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are humbled and thankful for how you have revealed yourself to us as sinful people, deserving of nothing of grace. And yet, Lord, you have brought us to see the wonder of eternal life. The wonder of sins forgiven. The wonder, Lord, of spending forever and forever in your holy presence. Lord, teach us through all the changing scenes of life. Equip us for what we do not know yet, the uncertain things of future. And help us to learn the lessons of total dependence upon you, our God. Lord, if there is someone here tonight and they're going through some very difficult times of doubting, oh, reassure them in their heart. Confirm, O God, again your grace to them. Someone is not a believer, simply, Lord, work salvation in them tonight. Hear our prayers. Receive, Lord, our thanks. We ask in Jesus' name.